Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Thanks for joining us. We got some good stuff for you lined up straight ahead. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got Kristen Arnold back on the show. Kristen is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She is a team building expert. She is an expert at helping companies put their best foot forward in the marketplace. That's what she does. And she is the leader of the Extraordinary Team. She's the author of Team Basics, among other publications, and she's an outstanding member and a very valuable member of our Brain Trust. Kristen Arnold, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim.
And all the way from Prince Edward Island.
I am in Prince Edward Island, Canada.
PEI.
Prince Edward Island, yep.
So if you see folks, the mussels, if you love mussels as I do, and you go to a restaurant, and you see mussels, and in parentheses, it'll say PEI, won't it?
Yes, it will.
And
the good ones will.
The good ones will. And there's a Prince Edward Island. Anytime you can get Prince Edward Island mussels, you are golden, folks. Those are the best. So that's where you live part of the time right now, isn't it?
I live part of the time now.
And it's just like take your breath away beautiful up there, isn't it?
It is gorgeous. In fact, I'm in my home office, and I'm right on the water, and just it's a beautiful day.
Do your worst.
Sunny, not a cloud.
Do your worst.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. So, and the lobster's like bologna up there, right? I mean, it's like nothing.
It tastes better than bologna.
I know it tastes better, but I mean, it's like a commodity up there, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I mean
lobster. You know, give me a hamburger. I'm tired. I'm sick of lobster, right?
Well, you know, lobster's about as expensive as hamburger is, so you might as well have lobster.
Hey, Kristen, what kind of a toll is the economy taking on our teams?
Well, you know, I think that the economy is not making the investment in the teams as much. It's like, get her done. I just, you know, let's not take the time to train our people or to give them time to pay attention to the affectual side, the relationship side. They just want results yesterday.
Right.
But I do think that I'm seeing signs of the economy getting better and that people kind of backing off on that a little bit more, making a little bit more investment in their people and in their infrastructure.
So do you think maybe now they're saying, okay, it kind of looks like we're going to survive. Maybe we better get this thing going again.
Maybe we better focus
on our organization a little bit.
Well, you know, you can forestall some of your investment infrastructure, as you know, but you can't keep doing that until you'll start cutting into.
Yeah, burn. Yeah.
And
exactly.
I think you've seen that in a lot of the teams. You know,
yeah, we have
saying,
had. Yep.
Even if I don't like this, I'm still going to, you know, do it because, well, I don't have any other choices, or this is the way the marketplace is. And so I think people have felt like their back has been against the wall.
I've never seen so much fear. Now, maybe not at this moment, but for the last 12 months, I've never seen a period of time when there was as much fear in the workplace.
I think the 80s. If you remember the 80s.
I do remember that. I was there.
Some of our listeners might not.
Yeah,
but
I know.
You
I know.
And I, we do. I think I felt that there.
I don't remember it like this, though.
Yeah?
I think this is worse.
Yeah, well,
but you may be right.
Is we're coming out of it.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right, and people are saying, well, it looks like we're... I mean, I really do believe that and I told them this. I said, folks, your number one goal in 2009 is to survive.
Yeah.
Your number one goal is to open your doors January 1, 2010. If you can do better than that, congratulations. But otherwise, you know, that's fine. So what should we... Let's say that we've got people listening who are saying, okay, I've been guilty of this. I did what I had to do to survive. If I overreacted, you know, then you know, that's an indictment I'll have to live with. But I had to do it. Had to do what I had to do. So now we're saying, okay, looks like you're going to survive. What do we do to make sure that our team is high functioning as the recovery appears? What do you think?
Well, I think one of the things that you can do is be very transparent with your folks, you know, all your employees and your team members, and say, here's where we've been, here's where we are, here's where we see the world, your industry, your marketplace going, and try to collaborate together as to what needs to be done for the future. How do you position yourself? I think a lot of smart business people took advantage of some of the opportunities that opened up in this crisis. Mm-hmm. There are some people who had fabulous years this past year. Some of us just survived. Some of us didn't do as well as we would have liked. I think now that we're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel, wherever you are, talk about where you are with your team and say, here's what our next steps are. That might be continue that growth. It might be we want, you know, incremental growth. It might be we just want to make sure that we're taking advantage of the things that are going on in the marketplace. So figure out what it is that you want as the leader, and then as a team, figure out how you're going to get there. What are the things that we need to do?
Isn't one of the best ways to get a team focused and to have a common cause and something to reach for, shouldn't the customer be at the center of that, of all those discussions?
Well, you would think so.
I know, but I'm not so sure the bigger the organization that it always turns out that way.
No. And in fact, most people are very producer-centric. You know, whether
producer
you're
as opposed to customer.
Right. I mean, whether you're a manufacturer, you're a distributor, or, you know, wherever you are in that value chain, you tend to think of your own company and how you're going to survive. So you become very insular, and really it's the end user, that end customer, whoever you're delivering that product, service, or function to, that should be your focus.
Well, you know, we see it. We plug into a company, you know, behind the sales force, you know, people who don't always automatically see customers. We plug in at that level, and they look at us like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Who are you? Well, I don't even know what kind of a being are you anyway?
You know, one of the best things that you can do for your team is take them to go visit a couple of customers.
You're talking about producer type employees.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The accountant or the receptionist or whatever.
Yeah, it's a great field trip.
Yeah.
It makes them feel good. It, you know, gets them out of the office for the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good team building experience.
I think that's a great idea.
Just take them out to, you know, go talk to a customer. I mean, if you look at some of the best companies, they have active touch the customer kind of programs. Let me just give you an example.
Take these people out and say, you see that person right there?
Right.
That's a customer. They're who makes your payroll.
Exactly. Speaking of payroll, a lot of small business owners use products by Intuit.
Mm-hmm.
QuickBooks, et cetera.
Right.
Intuit is, from the get-go, they were always very customer-focused. So everyone in their company goes and watches people use their program.
Wow. Now, that's a good idea. Yeah, absolutely. Hold on to that thought, Kristen. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Kristen Arnold is our guest. She and I will be right back. We're going to talk some more about taking care of those customers with our teams. 20 after. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. We're grooving with our good friend Kristen Arnold. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm your host. Kristen is our guest. And my website, by the way, folks, is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. No barrier to entry. You got one minute, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 15 minutes, 13 minutes. Anywhere in between those, we've got something you can read or listen to, and we have the information arranged in handy-dandy categories. You can also search or just go right there on the homepage. There's lots of stuff there that you can see and take advantage of. And if you want to subscribe to my newsletter, you can do that right there. We'll send that to you by email every Sunday afternoon. You can check out my blog, which we update on a regular basis. So check all that out. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Kristen Arnold, as I say, is our guest. She's the author of Team Basics. Kristen, tell us about your company and what you guys do.
Well, my company specializes in building high-performance teams. I'm a high-stakes meeting facilitator, which means I take care of really important meetings, and I help train other people to do what I do.
I like that. High-stakes meeting facilitator.
Yes, I am.
Let me tell you something, folks. I know Kristen. That's not hyperbole. That's the truth. But if she can do it, high-stakes meeting facilitator. I never heard that term before, though. I love that.
Oh, well, thank you. It's pending trademark.
I'm good for you. I like that. So, folks, and tell us how we can find you online and get your books and everything.
At extraordinaryteam.com.
Extraordinary team, or with an S or without an S?
Without an S.
Without, I always forget. ExtraordinaryTeam.com. And you can find her books there. The book, Team Basics, is there. Kristen, we were talking about getting our teams revitalized and getting them focused on the customer as a good way to get everybody pulling in the same direction. But when we focus on those customers, we need to ask them to do business with us, don't we?
Absolutely.
And I've been preparing proposals for people, you know, since, you know, well, a long time, decades.
Don't go there.
Yeah, exactly. I won't. Don't worry. But a long time. And I'll tell you, the power of the presentation can never be underestimated. And you need to get good at it, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Talk to us about it.
But when you're looking at presentations, and I started getting into presentation, looking at the way that people present to your customers or to your team members, is that, you know, it's really easy to just stand and deliver and tell people what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a sure sign of failure these days, especially with the younger generations coming up, and they expect to be entertained, and they expect to be engaged.
And more of them are decision-makers, aren't they?
Absolutely. So one of the first things that you have to do whenever you're giving a presentation is to show that you care about the person, that you really want to connect with them and have a conversation with them.
This is an adjunct of the social media environment, isn't it?
I never really thought about it.
It is. It is. That's what's driving that environment.
This
is all part of that. I mean, you got to. That's the reason why I'm encouraging people to get involved in social media and what I call building online customer communities, because this is all. It's all part of that world. It's the way the marketplace is moving.
People do want to connect.
Yes,
and they're connecting in very, very different ways.
And they connect with your values.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And they connect with who you are.
Yep.
It's more than just, here's what I do. It's who you are. Do we have something in common?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have something that we can build a relationship on? Because people want to feel like you care, and then they'll connect with you, and then they'll have a conversation.
Right.
So there's a lot of lurkers that are watching, but they don't necessarily engage yet with you until they can trust you. And you do that online, in the online world, but you also do that in the face-to-face world.
Right. You got to have both. It's not either or, it's both and, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, talk to us about what you're seeing out there with regard to presentations. Anything new?
Well, I do think that more and more people are interested in not only being entertained, but they want to be engaged and they want to be involved. And that's difficult for some people because they don't really know what are the different techniques that you can use to engage and involve your audience. So I'm just finishing up a book called Punch Up Your Presentation. So it's full of those kinds of techniques.
Well, you know, another thing that helps with this, of course, if you got a product, toss them one of them. You know, let them hold it or whatever. But if you don't, one of the things that I've been doing more and more of is doing the presentation electronically and letting them sort of almost take themselves through it themselves. But meaning show them, demonstrate your product online and let them discover it themselves by clicking through themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think most people are getting to the point where they want self-paced learning. You know, if you're not in a face-to-face situation, then and you're using an electronic medium which is not live, then you should be able to pace yourself the way that you want to do it. You should be able to start. You should be able to stop. And so having those kind of demonstration models on your website or in a learning system or some kind of way that people can experience you is a great idea.
So tactile, involved, participating, I mean, very visual and I mean, this is multifaceted presentation delivery, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And that's the way of the future, folks. You're going to have to get ready for that.
So keep in mind one thing, Jim, that when you're giving a presentation, whether it's virtual or face-to-face, you are the number one visual. If you can't say what's important, all the bells and whistles are not going to connect you to your client.
Well said. And we're going to talk some more about this. Kristen's going to come back. We're going to launch that book on this show real soon. Thanks, Kristen, for being here. Enjoy yourself up there in PEI.
Thank you.
Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.